chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, the words of Paul, the word of God in Ephesians. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading and understanding that comes from his word. The title of today's sermon is Created for Good Works. Please be seated. My garage is my woodworking shop. And I understand that there are people who actually keep cars in garages. I don't really understand those folks, but that's okay. And when I say that it's my shop, I don't want to give you the wrong impression. I play with woodworking. There are serious woodworkers in this congregation. I am not one of those. But I enjoy it. And I believe that he who dies with the most toys win. And I have tried to consume toys to keep myself busy. So I play at being a good worker. But what I really enjoy in woodworking is actually making jigs and fixtures. Now, jigs are used to line up and hold down another piece of wood, so that then you can make repeated and fairly accurate cuts or drill holes in the other piece of wood. It enables you to cut down on the tolerance errors that build up if you cut each one individually. And so I'm making a jig right now to help me make a picture frame with mitered half-lap joinery. Never done that before, and so I'm enjoying trying to put it together. I'm learning stuff. So, a jig or a fixture is a special tool created in the shop for good works. A jig or fixture finds its meaning in life by what it helps you do. Now, that's, in other words, it is something useful. And though it may be pretty, and it's nice to make them look nice, that's not the point. And when you put them together, it's not that they're going to be the thing that's hanging on the wall for people to see. So it is there for good work to be done that is something that brings to light. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see where I'm going with this. Paul teaches us here today that in one sense, God has made us all jigs or fixtures. And it is through these jigs and fixtures which we are that he intends to do other good works. Now notice that. We are there to do good works to enable, if you will, or to prepare for God's good works that is going to be done as a result of whatever we're for. Unlike me, God is the ultimate master craftsman. These works that he will do through us are those that qualify as good works. And he is so good and skillful that he can even use broken and fallible human beings like us to actually accomplish good things. Now, this metaphor holds, and if it does, we can see some things right away by following up on it. First, if this is the case, if we think along these lines, then our lives are other-directed. Our lives are other-directed. We are created for purposes outside of ourselves. The good works we do are unto something beyond us, like jigs and fixtures. Our purpose in life is not to lounge around on our spiritual couches and basically wait for other people to do stuff. We are here for God to use in bringing about good works. Now, the second thing, if this metaphor holds, is that we are here as something for which we are designed and built. In other words, the works for which we are designed and built are the good works. And that God, being the master craftsman, will take joy in those works. He will take joy, he will delight in the work that is done. It will bring him pleasure. Just that alone should really work an incredible motivation in us. We ought to get excited about our lives as a result of this. We can and are intended to be useful to God. We can make him, if he will allow me to use this anthropomorphism this way, we can make him happy, if he will allow that thought. Now, obviously then, we ought to better understand these good works that God intends to accomplish through us, for clearly they constitute the framework of our lives. Our lives' direction and purpose is tied up with the good works that God has created for us to do. And so the purpose of what I'd like to talk with you about today is that we need to think in terms of who we are as being in God's workshop. Now let's look at verse 10 a bit more deeply here as we think about that. Now, first thing I want us to notice here in verse 10, here is that master craftsman thing again. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works. We are created in Christ Jesus unto an end. In other words, God has created us with a purpose, good works. Now, this is a big deal to Paul, this whole idea of being created. He has said in many places throughout his writings that we are a new creation. It's the main theme in many of his passages. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 16 through 19. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. There again, you see the works that follow his creation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world in himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And well, let's step back from that a minute and let's bring it home. Anyone in Christ is a new creation. Now, I've been talking with you ever since the very first sermon on Ephesians 1 about this theme of being in Christ. And so in this new eon, this breaking earthquake event of Christ that has come in and separated history into before Christ and after Christ, the event of Christ himself has created a whole new world order and a whole new way of life. And in Christ, we are made new. We are not the same. The idea behind this, or the idea that shapes how Paul thinks about this in this way, is that those who are in Christ are those who, as we talked about last week, live by faith. We spoke about that, that having been formed by God and being in Christ, then we are in this new era with all of its powers as the time of our creation. Paul deliberately pictures what's going on in this new era in terms of the first creation. He looks back, and in his mind, he sees God working progressively in the first creation, and he sees it as a metaphor for what's going on in our lives now, in the world now. God did everything progressively in the bringing about this world. He didn't just walk out and say, let there be a universe and everything in it. He said, let there be light. And then he went on through a whole series of progressive steps in bringing about that which we now understand and know is the created world order. Even the creation of Adam was not by magical fiat. God formed Adam from the dust of the earth. There was a process involved. And then, to some degree, in the process of forming him, he also formed Eve by taking her from Adam's rib. Now, in other words, a process. Now, when Paul looks back at all of this, he sees God's hand in the new creation working the same way. There's a process in place. God is bringing about the ends that he has always designed it to be through a process that includes it being in Christ, people working in Christ. And I don't know if I'm doing that or somebody else, but something's scratching. Now, the end of the first creation was for a man, Adam, to stand on the earth with his wife. In other words, Adam and his church. Adam and his church. That was the purpose of the first creation. And God then immediately told them, once they had been created, that he had stuff for them to do. In other words, there were good works for them to do. God created them to be fruitful and multiply and to exercise dominion over all the creatures of the earth. In other words, he had prepared works for them to do. And building on that overarching mandate of good works, and then as a specific thing underneath it, God gave Adam and Eve a specific task, what we would call a vocation. And that vocation played in as a part of his overall call to do good works in the universe. Now that particular vocation he was given was to care for a garden. And his wife, his church, was given to him to help him fulfill that calling. For Paul, as I have just said, these things are all a type, and they are there for our instruction and insight and to help us understand what God has done and what he is doing in the new creation. He makes it clear that those who are in Christ, can you hear me okay? He makes it clear that those who are in Christ, who are living in faith, as we talked about it last week, those for whom the work of God in their lives has transformed their mind and awakened them to understand the universe and everything in it, including themselves, in terms of the triune God, the covenant-making, awesome working God who is above and orders all things. And doing that, we find living that way, understanding God this way, we discover our own meaning and purpose in life. And I am here to tell you today that our meaning and purpose in life is external to us. It's not just that we are being created to be beautiful objects to sit on God's mantle for him to look at and say, boy, I did a good job there, didn't I? No, we are created unto good works, and the good works then become our meaning and purpose in life. We have been graced with faith not to sit on our hands and bask in God's love, although there are times we should do that. We have been created by grace in order to bring fruit for God's kingdom. And that fruit is good works. So that makes it very important for us to understand how this all works. What are good works, and how do we recognize them as being what we should do? Now, here again, we build on last week's sermon about faith. We spoke of faith as describing a life a person lives in Christ. And it's not just an intellectual acceptance of certain biblical truths, but rather it's a whole life that grows out of embracing those truths. The just shall live in or by faith, through faith. Faith is a life dedicated to God. It seeks to serve and glorify Him. Notice the motivation. True faith is going to understand the life that is being lived as unto the end of glorifying God through Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? That sets the stage for doing good works and, in fact, leads us to understand what they are. For the good works that we are to do are those that have been set aside from all eternity, as Paul says us here, that we are to walk in them. And those words that we are led to do as we walk with God in faith are the works that we have been sent here for. In other words, the life of faith leads us to encounter or to come in contact with the good works we are to do. What can this be? And we might be thinking, well, good works, those are the works that are really big, you know. I mean no disrespect whatsoever to our missionaries, but I once had a young man whose family was very heavily involved in foreign missions. Matter of fact, he's the only one that was home. And he really struggled with the idea that since he wasn't called to the mission field, he was a second-class citizen. Now, I'm very much in favor of missionaries and missionary work and all of that. If you're called to that, that is God's work for your life. However, those who stay home also serve. And it was important for me to help this man see his life as being important to God for what he was doing here in where he was put so that he prospered where he was planted. And so we have to be able to recognize what constitutes good works. It could be just about anything. What is it our Lord said? He who gives even a cup of water in my name shall not fail to lose his reward. So even a cup of water given in Christ's name, which means it is ministered to with the witness of Christ. It is accompanied by the statements that, brother, what I have, I'm able to give to you in the name of Christ, take and drink. Such is a good work because its aim, its point, is to glorify God for doing works in his name. Now, that's what Jesus taught us, and I think it gives us a key for understanding this whole idea of what good works are. Good works are the fruits produced by a life of faith. And in fact, here's something that's even a little more shocking. Good works are only those works done in a life of faith. Now, think about that. Let it sink in. There is no objective quality to any work outside and of itself such that that work stands before God as a good work no matter who does it or why. There is no such thing. There is nothing outside of faith that qualifies any human work as good. In fact, some of the actions that may seem so beneficial to the flourishing of the human race, when not done as an act of faith unto Christ's kingdom and glory, is not good at all and may be desperately evil. That's why it's impossible for fallen mankind to earn their way into heaven. A life lived apart from Jesus Christ will not and cannot do good works, even if it's done in the church, even if it's singing hymns, praying, participating in the Lord's Supper, even if it means going to religious services and doing stuff that some priest says will qualify us with merit before God. Brothers and sisters, only in faith and through faith can any work we do be related to and acceptable to our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember how we define faith. It is understanding the entire universe and all things in it, including ourselves, in terms of the triune God. Well, among those things that we are to understand as all things in the universe are works. We're supposed to recognize these works as being something that is such that it will bring glory to God. And this is one of the great blessings of walking in faith. Because while walking in faith, being indwelt by the Holy Spirit, it opens our eyes to see what the will of God is for our lives as we live it. Remember, as we talked about before, we're to walk not by the flesh, but what? By the Spirit. We are to walk by the Spirit. Who are the sons of God? Those who walk according to the Spirit. Now, if that's the case, that only those who walk by the Spirit are sons of God. Now let's go back to the verse that was read to you earlier, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So far, so good. Yeah. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yea, amen. Now, why? Why are we to do this in God's providence and God's economy? We do this so you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Walking in faith, being led by the Holy Spirit to do the good works that God puts us before to do, is how we prove what is good and acceptable and perfect in God's will. We are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, and that this is our reasonable service by being no longer conformed to the world, but through a renewed mind, then we will prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we may say, boy, that gets really kind of, you know, iffy. What is that all? What's that like? Well, think of how Jesus did his lived his life. I think we can pretty all consistently agree he did good works, right? Yeah? Okay, I hope so. All right. Well, how did Jesus characterize the works he did? Well, in John 14, he says very clearly, what do? I do those things I see my Father doing. I do those things I see my Father doing. In other words, there was a spiritual connection to the things that God, that Jesus did on this earth with respect to seeing the hand of God already at work in where he was going to do it. We talked a few weeks back about him healing one man beside the pool at Bethesda. Now, he didn't heal them all. Why that guy? Because the Spirit of God led him to that guy and said, this is the one I want you to heal. Now, when we start thinking that way, then we are led by, Jesus was led by the Spirit to do good works. And in Acts 4:10, Paul does a healing, and he heals a particular individual. And then he's questioned by those friendly Pharisees and Sadducees and all those guys who liked him so much. And they asked him, you know, what are you doing here? And he told them, he says, let it be known to you that it was by Jesus that this man was healed. I didn't heal him. Jesus healed him. Peter saw this man and understood this man had the power of God on him for healing. And so therefore, he called him forth. Here's the principal thing. Living a transformed, renewed life of faith means the Holy Spirit is working in our lives and directs our steps so that we prove God's perfect will for us, and he leads us to those good works that he has ordained for us individually to walk in. Now, that's a great blessing, is it not? It's a great blessing. I doubt I will be around to preach on Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 9. I doubt seriously we're going to make it to chapter 5 before the new guy gets here. But Paul makes it clear in that chapter. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. How can it not be more clear? We walk in faith. We live by faith. We have that transformed life that is faith. And God leads us to encounter the things that are acceptable to him for us to do. Can you take that to heart? Walking as children of light leads us to discover in our own lives what is acceptable to God. We are not able, nor are we designed, nor intended to do everything that the world needs to have done in it. We are not here to minister to every person in the world in a way so as to see God's hand healing all people. But we are designed for specific good works and to know what those works are that God has created us to do. And that alone fills our life with an understanding. A lot of words going around today in the culture about my identity is this, my identity is that, my identity is this. Brother and sister, every one of us in this room today should be able to say, my identity is in Christ. I am a Christian saved by grace unto the end of doing good works for Christ. And the ones that I see myself doing are blankety, 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 blank. Specific direction in our lives unto the end of particular good works. Now, this leads us to one last very important passage in doing good works. We are to do good works to any whom God brings to us for that work. But we are to be especially concerned to do good works that God sets before us in the household of God. Now, here I'm going to Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. Let us not grow weary in doing good. That means there's a lot of good works to do. In fact, there's an entire lifetime of works to do. I have a friend of mine who keeps reminding me that there are no rocking chairs in Christ's kingdom. He keeps saying retirement. I don't think you know what that means. But the bottom line of it is that we have an entire lifetime of work to do. And therefore, some of those that we will be doing may very well be doing good to those who qualify as enemies. Well, brothers and sisters, it is especially within the church, the household of faith, that we will discover God bringing us opportunity for doing good. This is one of his reasons for instituting fellowship. Therefore, each and every one of us as individuals are to understand that we are to be doing good works in the church. It's not just the deacons. There's at least one deacon present. It's not just the deacons who are here to do good works. As a matter of fact, it's not their job to do good works. The deacons are here to facilitate good works and to bring it such that the good works get done by those that God has put together to do them. Now, the household of faith that God provides is where we find our opportunities for doing good often. And that's one of his big reasons for bringing us into fellowship. And therefore, each and every one of us are to be alert for the Spirit's leading in us while he is among us. God so arranges our lives and our works that the church becomes a living organism where each part contributes to the whole, the well-being of the whole. And that means seeing each other within the church and the church as a whole has legitimate needs that are to be met. The Bible says that within the covenant community, there should be no hunger. The people of God should be concerned enough that all who are within it have enough to eat. We see this in Acts very clearly. It goes beyond that the people who are among us certainly have clothes to wear and even a roof over their heads. It is not to the government that we should be looking and pointing our brothers and sisters in the faith so that the government gets to play Messiah. It is to the church as the temple of God, the ground of truth, that people are to understand that their lives are found in terms of God's covenant. And that in the church, where you will find people whose lives are dedicated to doing good works. Not only are they dedicated to doing good works, but it is their joy and privilege to have been created by God for that purpose. Have you ever stopped to think, why are you there? Did it ever cross your mind as you're going through life and all the stuff is coming at you left, right, and center? Have you wondered, you know, God, why didn't you just whisk me away in your dustpan there when I became saved? Once I was born again, why'd you leave me here? Well, there's a reason for it. It's because he's not through with you. Not only is he improving you through sanctification, but he is working in you and through you to accomplish his good and perfect will. If that was how Jesus understood himself, John 17, I have done that which you sent me to do. I have done the good works that you sent me to do. If that was true for our Lord Christ, should it not be openly embraced in our lives also? We are created for good works. Those that God has from all eternity set aside for us to walk in them. I challenge you to consider where it is in your life that consciously you are to undertake to do good works that are acceptable to God and a delight to him. Let's pray. Lord and God, I thank you for the for the clarity that your servant Paul has given us. Thank you, Lord God, that we have not only lives to lead, but works to do. Lord, we find our meaning and purpose in not just going inward and seeing how we can be a better person. There's a value to that. But our meaning and value comes to a head when we see ourselves as being used by God unto good works, and those works define and establish who we are in his kingdom. Help us to understand that and embrace it. And Lord, as we come to this table, we ask that you renew us in your grace. Open us up to the understanding of your will for us. We ask, O Lord and God, that as we have thought about these words and perhaps the challenge they may present to us in our lives, we ask, Lord God, that you have your own way with us and transform us into people prepared to do good works. In your name we pray. Amen.